I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader. 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. You got it, Dan. You got it. Let's whoop the last 2 hours' ass. You guys ready?
I'm ready, buddy.
Let's do it. Got a lot to get to over the next 2 hours of radio. A statter story in the final hour. I was just alerted to something because I always listen to the SportsCenter updates. I'm glued to them. Bottom and top of the hour. You know what Brandon notified me of? We're playing Caitlin Clark tonight.
Caitlin Clark is white.
We get our first Caitlin Clark game?
We do. Fire versus Caitlin
now
Clark.
Now in Indy, right?
It's in Indy. Okay. She's here at the end of the month.
Okay, so coming
so
in a couple of weeks.
Week and a half.
Have we looked at a recent estimate of those ticket prices? I will say this. I don't want this to turn. I mean, we actually can let it if you want. I meant to get to football stuff here, but I might get distracted. It happens from time to time.
Oh, I know I'm not going to get them. I'm going to be asking today for tickets to the Fever game.
You're flying that one up the flagpole?
Yeah.
Hey, Cooley. Hey.
I mean, I was just told the other day.
We got tickets.
Ask and you shall receive.
You said look at the calendar.
Sprague's a big Caitlin Clark fan.
I looked at the calendar here. It says the Fever are in town.
All right, here we go. Portland Fire, what would you venture to guess right now?
What are we talking here? Are we talking...
Bro, it's also a Saturday.
Yes, that's... Yeah. let's look for...
Good
like,
luck.
You know our stance. I'm not sitting
I'm 300
level.
I'm not a 300 level guy.
So give me high 100 level, and I'm going to guess... 125.
High 100?
High 100 level. Right in front of the club.
You're not finding... So I have four people in my family.
You got a cluster you got to take. Not easy to do.
If you did four tickets instead of two, you're not sitting in the 100 section for anything below
$188. $188
a ticket.
A ticket.
Yeah. You want to sit in the mid-court, midway point of the mid-court, like section 112?
Right.
$845 a ticket.
This is one of those things where it's like...
She better not get hurt.
She better play in that damn
game,
dude.
There better be insurance packages on these tickets.
That needed to be a part of their CBA is you're not allowed to load manage. You're playing every night. Have you seen what the ticket costs when you come to town?
She's still the needle mover of needle movers, man.
It's wild,
I don't think
dude.
She's the best guard. I think Paige Beckers is a better player, but she's still the needle mover. She's going to be the grand marshal at the Indy 500.
I saw that. That's pretty cool.
That's an underrated thing I'd love to do.
The grand marshal? Do you say ladies? Is that the one where they say ladies and gentlemen start their engines? Ooh. Or is that like the Daytona 500? I'm not up on my racing.
No, I think they do it
like
at the
Kevin
Indy.
James one. Remember that famous?
Wasn't that at Indy?
I don't know. I can't tell you. I just know it was a race. And then they waved a flag and everybody started driving real fast and they were turning hard.
This is where our racing knowledge lacks.
We don't have. You're the guy, dude. If anybody on the show is the racing guy, it's got to be you.
I quit.
You're the monster
racing
truck, bro. You got a Dale Jr. hat on. You drink a lot of Budweiser.
I have a Dale Jr. hat
you're
on.
You're a big Dale Jr. guy over there.
I have a Pelican hat on.
You're a big Jeff Gordon fan, aren't you?
I hated Jeff Gordon.
Hey, Jeff Gordon, dude, was he the villain?
You could not exist in a world where you were Jeff Gordon and Dale Earnhardt.
No,
I was
an
Earnhardt family.
Cannot happen. It's like being Biggie and Tupac. It just does not transpire.
Of course, I rooted on Junior. Junior's career wasn't quite his dad's, but he had a good career.
He had a good career.
Not a lot of wins.
A lot of turns. A lot of lefts.
So they don't say drivers start your engines.
Are they just
Daytona.
In the back of the car?
Okay, that's Daytona.
They do a traditional...
Lap and a wave?
Yeah, they kind of say drivers report to your car. So that's kind of like the initiatory,
that's
like,
not
here come
fun,
the drivers
dude.
Getting ready to
that
get sucks. In their cars to start the
Indy
race.
500 it's would so be fun sad. To go to, but that's kind of dumb. Can we acknowledge that? Get ready to go to your cars. What are we?
I saw this tweet like 2 days ago, and I want to give you an idea here, and I know we're not a racing show in any way. Okay,
is this going to be a car racing WNBA segment? When I meant to talk NFL, that's a hell of a pivot, dude.
I'll let you talk NFL.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Like, do you or anybody else understand? Like. How big the Indianapolis 500 is?
It's a massive deal. I'm well aware.
No, not the event.
Oh,
the track.
Oh. I'm assuming pretty big track.
So I'm going to give you an idea. Inside the track.
Is that just an oval in Indy?
It's just a big oval.
Okay. It's not like F1 where they're doing zigzags.
No.
It's
just a huge oval.
I don't think I've ever watched the Indy 500.
That's fine. I've seen bits. I've never sat and watched an entire Indy 500.
I've seen Talladega though.
Inside the track, you could fit, if you emptied it all out and you said, all right, what do you want to build in here? you could build Vatican City, the Taj Mahal, Churchill Downs.
I think I'm playing Sim City right now.
The Rose Bowl Stadium.
Ooh.
The Roman Coliseum.
Holy shnikes.
The White House, including his ballroom.
Oh, ballroom included? I got to have my ballroom.
Liberty Island.
What's Liberty Island?
Is that your Liberty?
Oh, okay. I didn't know what the name of the island was.
And Yankee Stadium.
Jeez.
All inside the track. You could fit all of that stuff.
So if you're sitting in the stands, can you even see the other side of the track? Like, that's got to be miles away.
A distance. It's like little dots going. I think that's what it's
got to
be.
That's what it is
like.
For about 4 hours in a row.
Yeah.
That's what you watch.
And I'd be the guy with my headphones on. I'd be like,
hey,
great race.
Yeah, dude. Got Bush Light here, my cooler, anybody want? Now, that's the one if you, when you drink milk, right?
Yeah.
You got to pound the milk.
Do you
get to request what kind of milk you want, or do they give you the milk that they have available?
I think it's the whole, whole milk.
It's got to be whole milk.
Ice cold.
Some of those guys are like foo-foo Europeans, are they not? Are they asking for skim?
Do they fake milk? Chug it? Like they just throw it down and they pretend they're drinking it, but it's really spilling out?
I think you block the throat and let it flow down your chest.
Yeah. It does look refreshing out of that glass jar, I gotta be honest.
When was the last time you drank milk?
Not very long ago, because we buy milk. We do whole milk.
You do?
Yeah, half
you
gallons.
You drink milk?
I don't drink milk, but last time I had milk, I had
I'm not saying like cereal. Cereal doesn't count.
Oh.
Like you just...
Well, I had a little granola in milk.
Yeah, that's no counties. You just had a glass of milk. Like, you know what I'm in the mood for?
Probably a couple months ago when I had...
A glass of milk.
The last time I ate sugar was Oreos.
Trying to build up your calcium.
And so like I do little kids' cups. We got those little plastic kids' cups still.
Who doesn't have them?
I filled that up about halfway so our dunkers. So it's Oreo milk, basically. That was about 2.5-3 months ago. That was the last time I drank milk. What about you?
It's been a while.
Are you guys a milk family?
No, I mean, we have milk because we're still bottling. He's still got the bottle going. It's going to be going for a while. But no, I can't tell you the last time I drank a glass of milk.
You didn't want to be the kid that has a 4-year-old on the boob? Some people, like, you breastfeed as long as you can. Some people.
He was not a good latcher. His latching skills were not solid.
Yeah.
We had to pivot out of that pretty quickly.
I can't believe there was ever a culture in society that made women feel bad about how that process went.
It's one of those things of, like, you don't realize going into parenting of, like, how much easier or more difficult your life is as a dad, depending on how your wife breastfeeds.
Because
if that's solid, if that relationship is simpatico, dude... Total burden off of the husband and the dad's shoulders. But when that's not a good relationship and they're not latching and the milk isn't flowing, that's a lot more responsibility on daddy's back here. Number two, let's get our latch down, okay?
Actually, I can believe that society did this to women.
Exhibit A.
I mean, my God, how did that become about your life?
Buddy, let's latch here, okay? Try to sleep through the night.
She's just pushing and giving labor, and you're out here like, you know how much harder my life is that I got to make a bottle?
Dude, the Ducks got a game this weekend, all right? Don't distract me. By the way, on the WNBA front, it's been really cool to see.
We were right there, teed up for NFL, and you're like, back to the WNBA.
Well, no, I'm kind of on the moment.
It's been great, though.
It's been awesome.
The Fire stuff's been great.
I've seen a lot of stuff. Now, are you doing the Fire games, Brandon?
Yeah, I'm part of the game ops there, yeah.
So I've seen, and I've watched the first game, and how many games have they played now? Four?
Four games.
They're 2-2.
Two and two. They've been better than we all thought coming into the year.
Oh, it's four games.
I know. We got a long ways to go. But it's not as long as the NBA season. What, do they play 40 games?
About, yeah.
I mean, hey, you know, what percentage is that? We got a chunk down, right? But the opener was great. I saw a little bit of the last game that they ended up winning at home. The crowd pops on television are insane.
I've had people tell me that have gone that they've told me that they're telling me confidently it's louder for these regular season Fire games than the playoffs were.
There was a moment late in the game where it was tied. They got like a breakaway layup. I can't remember exactly what the score was.
It was Sarah Ashley Barker and ripped it away from Griner and just took it down.
The volume was so loud, it couldn't handle it. It was like overmodulated.
Well, our friend Elise Woodward's on the play-by-play.
Mm-hmm.
And when she's calling it, I can hear the crowd pops, but I'm also like hearing somebody... And the Fire! Because I'm wondering how much she's feeling drowned
out in her
headphones.
Oh, it's got to be like incredibly loud because you're getting crowd mic in your headphones. I got to block some of it out so you can hear yourself. But yeah, what's your takeaway that it's been louder than Blazer games so far?
Yeah, so far. Yeah, I'm curious of how long that's going to last during the season, especially depending on how they perform. But the turnout's been great. And now, it's been...
The Connecticut turnout seemed a little... I saw a whole arena viewpoint at one point. It seemed less than
I feel like it's gone less than per game. Yeah. So and that's what I'm expecting as we
from like
get 100%
to 98% to 95% or whatever.
On vacations and stuff.
The 300 section's starting to get a little barren in some of these. But I think with the Fever game, it's going to go right back.
Well, it might change a little bit, too, considering summertime kids out of school. So if you got a Tuesday night game at 7 o'clock,
those it's like maybe are the games that are hard.
A little bit easier to go
games.
To.
Yeah.
This but time like, of year is tough.
Cameron Brink
still,
comes back.
They're still
fill
getting,
up.
I think it was 12,000 in that last game against the Sun. Like,
that's a
they're
good
still
number.
Getting
dude, that's great.
Numbers.
Yes.
And for the crowd pop to still be that significant through the broadcast, it's impressive.
Well, I'm going to throw that in my quad box tonight. That'll be fun. I didn't know we were in Indiana. I get to see Caitlin Clark against the Fire.
How much. Could you imagine if they did renovations in Moda and they agreed to play in the Memorial? How much more is that $846 ticket for Caitlin Clark going? That's an $1,100 ticket at minimum.
Because
there's
losing
only 12,
how many
12,
seats?
12.5 in that arena?
In the VMC?
In the VMC?
Dude, less than that. Now they took seats out.
Because of the renovation?
The renovation. They so made the seats wider and they're all new. And so it's, oh no, I want to say...
You think it's less than 10?
I think it's less than 10 now. But yeah. I don't know. Maybe someone from the Winterhawks will chime in and text me and let me know. But I'm pretty sure they used to be right around 10, I want to say, prior to the renovation, and they took seats out in the renovation.
You might be selling that ticket for almost $2,000.
Yeah.
If it was in the VMC. But it still, even at the Moda Center, that's a pretty high price.
I'll see if we can find a...
It's been good, man. I love the court. I still don't like the jerseys, and I saw Jackie Stiles basically say she's glad they kept the name because it preserves some of the history they had very briefly.
Jackie Stiles, yeah.
Yeah, they had their reunion night.
Yeah,
they brought the whole team and the coach back.
Oh, did they from the original team?
Yeah, the Connecticut
That's
game.
Really cool.
So they celebrated the former team, and I see her point on that, but I still don't know if I love the Portland Fire as the name.
No, I'm not a huge fan of it. The logo's sweet. I like the logo. The logo's a good look. I still wish they would have gone with a different name, but at time heals all wounds.
The Rose logo's pretty good.
The Rose badass.
You can hate the name, but I
want to get that like on a, I need a shirt with just the logo. I don't want the fire stuff.
That's what
they
sell.
Yeah, I just want the logo.
Or
a hat with the logo. Yeah. I'd rock that,
yeah.
Dude. Google AI is telling me, by the way, maybe I did shortchange him. Now maybe this isn't true. I don't know, but it's googly eye. They're saying it used to be about 12,000 for concerts, roughly 10,000 now following recent renovations for concerts.
So if it's 10,000, anything googly eye.
No, but if it's 10,000 for concerts, that's some floor seating that's available. So you're looking at probably 9 and some change, I'd imagine.
We better get this together. By the way, the Connecticut Sun ahead of us in the Juju Tankathon 0-5.
Yeah, we're gonna
Storm.
Be upset.
Yeah, you need to be in the. I think it's the bottom four teams are the lottery, like the. Best odds to get number one.
Yeah, we got to pick up the pace a little bit here tonight.
It's been a fun ride.
Yeah.
Let's lean in and keep it fun, but lose.
You want to get a couple of dubs early, keep everybody happy and
we
satisfied.
Need Juju Watkins.
And now we need. Can we not make the same mistake twice as Portland basketball fans?
Yeah.
You know, like win 35 games the year Victor Wembanyama comes out of the draft.
Can you imagine if we got the number one pick and we didn't select Juju Watkins? Some European player. She'll be here in 3 years.
Who? Who what? The hell is that? What are we talking about
what?
Here? I got some football stuff I'd like to get to. We'll do that in a moment. How about right now, for those of you who just survived a car racing and WNBA segment, if you text the word journey, J-O-U-R-N-E-Y, to 503-864-6326, you'll be entered for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Journey, speak of the Coliseum, at the Veterans Memorial Coliseum, September 19th. You can go to 1051thefan.com for complete details. Again, text journey to 503-864-6326. They're coming to town September 19th, and you got a chance to win a pair of tickets. Boom goes the dynamite. In the world of football, can I entertain you on any of the remaining players left in the free agent market and whether or not they are an impactful player that you would want your team to go after?
I've seen this list. I'm just going to tell you now. You can name them off.
It's an immediate poo-poo. Immediate poo-poo. You farting on this thing?
It's one of those, like, one name that you're going to throw out, I think, is still holding on to the name.
Okay.
But he's going to make a play. And that's kind of it. That's about all the expectation is.
Well, according to our friend Matt Bowen at ESPN, these are the remaining free agents that are the most lucrative on the open market that teams should be going after. Now, he also adds the best fit for each possible team, and I'll tell you what that is. Stephon Diggs, I don't know if you're aware, the charges were dropped.
Mm-hmm.
That court case went nowhere. Stephon Diggs still on the open market.
I don't have a lot of interest there.
Joey Bosa, edge rusher, been around a long time. You could have the MAGA Bros in San Francisco. Should they team up?
That seems like it's gaining traction to be a thing, and that's a name that I would say lives by the name. not production, and I'm not really, that's not doing much for me.
He had 5 sacks last year, 5 forced fumbles, and 42 pressures.
You can't beat the going all in being the old ass team allegations
with
if
one
you
more
make that addition.
Old ass addition.
Yeah.
What about your old buddy Deebo Samuel, who is still on the open market? A disappointing year in Washington for him, but a little bit of juice left in the tank.
He was their leading receiver last year, was he not?
I'll take your word for it. I believe so. They were pretty bad, but I'll take your word for it.
I'll look up his numbers. He's somebody that, like, if you add, I don't have, like, an expectation to be what he was a couple of years ago.
I think the beauty of all these guys is if you're still on the open market, you're not looking at a big price tag. These are 1 year. Like,
yeah, he had 70 catches for 700 yards.
That's not bad, considering not starting terrible. Quarterback missed a good chunk of the year, too. That's not a terrible year for Deebo.
Dude, Daniels missed 10 games last year.
Yeah, he missed Underrated. Over half of the season. Marcus Mariota was their quarterback.
Is he back,
the GOAT.
The he
yeah,
back?
I think so. I think they love him as a backup.
Okay,
he's a good locker room guy, good mentor. He's the perfect backup.
He was their leading receiver, by the way. Because Terry McLaurin got hurt. So
yes,
he had 72 catches for 700 yards.
Okay.
That's an okay name.
There's something there. By the way, I should be Bowen gives some fits here. He says Stephon Diggs' best fit is the Rams.
I don't know if I'm rolling the dice on that. You're already dealing with the Puka thing.
He's your number 3 wide receiver
Stephon
in that
Diggs
scenario.
Stephon Diggs and Puka Nacua both losing their minds because they had 2 catches. I don't know if I'm going to roll the dice that
one. You want to roll the dice on that one?
I think I'm out on that one.
Joey Bosa, his best fit was San Francisco.
Yeah.
So let's get the old bros back together.
They need Bosa rushing. Bros. They want to combine him with his brother. I get it. Yeah.
Deebo, his best fit was Indy. Going to Indy, being another weapon. I forgot that they lost. This is the fun time of year. I do this in baseball. When you turn on a game, you're like, oh, that's right. That's where that guy plays now.
They lost Pittman.
I had that with Pittman the other day because mm-hmm. I was watching. I wasn't watching, but it was shoved down my throat, OTA highlights, and Rodgers was completing passes to it. I'm like, ah, that's right. Pittman's in Pittsburgh. Okay.
Metcalf and Pittman in Pittsburgh.
That's a nice little tandem. So Deebo, he has his best fit is Pittsburgh. Jonnu Smith. Tight end. Anybody out there looking for a tight end? His best fit is Carolina.
Yeah.
Cam Jordan still available, still playing. I feel like he's been around. I was surprised by
that. I thought it felt like he was retiring, but it was more of a goodbye to New Orleans.
He's been around for like 80 years. I feel like he's been in the league since 1994.
Well, that's a guy I'm surprised he's not hanging him up to dive into the media thing. He's really good on television.
Yeah, he's going
to
be a good TV guy someday.
So I'm just a little surprised some of these guys. Look, it's competing. It's having the ability to still play, you never know, you know, and having that ability it's hard to walk away from.
Yeah.
He's going to be a good TV guy.
Bobby Wagner's still available. Best fit, Jacksonville. He averaged 9.5 tackles per game last year. That's 6th overall in the NFL in 2025. So he's got issues in coverage. He's not the most athletic guy, like at this point, especially in his career, but a guy who is still a tackling machine.
But
like,
what's his durability going to be as he continues
yeah,
to age?
I don't know.
It's been a fantastic Hall of Fame career.
Hall of Famer, no doubt about it.
But, yeah, that's a tough one because I can see it from if Jacksonville takes the roll of the dice, good locker room guy.
Yes.
Help the younger players.
Great leader.
And for all the games you can play, if not all of them, like you're out there and you're still making some production with tackles. It's just about what you're going to be in coverage.
Be my short yardage guy, 3rd down, 4th down. Clowney is still available. Been around for a long time. Detroit is the best fit there. We know how bad their defensive line has been at the end of years recently and how many injuries that they've had in that front. A lot of these guys are in this similar category, right? Like Von Miller, still available. Anything there? His best fit is Chicago. Nick Chubb on the market. Dallas looking potentially for another running back. He has Dallas as the best fit, and the last one is Trevon Diggs, the corner, obviously, and the Commies is his best fit.
So where was Chubb last year? Wasn't it
Nick Chubb was Googling and I can't remember. He had 500 yards and 3 touchdowns. Houston, played in Houston.
Yeah.
4 yards a carry, yeah. Only 122 carries.
Didn't feel like a really good year for him.
3 touchdowns and 500 yards last season. His run, that was 4 straight 1,000-yard seasons, and you have the devastating injury in 2023, coming back at the end of 2024. Like, can you find something? If he's your second or third back and he's a cheap, off the scrap heap kind of guy, I got no issue with it. I think that's the one benefit of all these
guys are going to be cheap.
Right. None of them will cost you a ton of money. So, Deebo does something for me. I'd be willing to roll the dice there. An edge rusher in spots. Like, we've seen some of these vet edge rushers go places and have an impactful game or two. If you're relying on Jadeveon Clowney to be your number one pass rusher, you're screwed.
Mm-hmm.
But can he be your 4th or 5th pass rusher? If, like, guys go down, like, dude, we need somebody. Then there's a fit, same with Vaughn and Bosa. So there's some value there. But those are the best for free agents left, according to our friend Matt Bowen at ESPN, as we inch closer to the start of the NFL season. Let's stick in the National Football League and concern growing for one area around one player. We'll tell you what that is next, 105.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
1FM The Fam. Love this fan text line. 503-864-6326. Hold on. Quick recap. Is that a WNBA Indy 500 and a breastfeeding segment? My God, I need
NFL
Tom.
Free agency.
I need Tom Dundon to come in here and take care of you guys.
NFL free agency also in there.
Hey, you calm down, all right?
Which NFL
we
player
talked football
is suckling at the teat?
Ooh.
Huh? I think we could say it. Nobody stopped the rug and tug. Nobody stopped the rug and tug.
Squeeze them damn things. Make sure you got two.
I was going to let you breathe in that one for a moment. Yeah. Water is warm. We have lots still to get to in the show. Hello, everybody. Welcome back in. Harley notifying us that the Indy 500 social account posted what each driver requested. If they are to win,
you
could request what kind of milk that you want. And the majority of them, he said, took whole milk.
Yeah.
So the majority of them pick, you know, none of that candy-ass crap.
Did they say water? Actually, I'm vegan. Ooh, I'm doing water.
It's another fun trivia question. Is anybody who is lactose intolerant ever won the Indy 500?
I do think it's a...
Had to have happened at some point, right?
I think it's a fake drinking thing if you're in that.
But even if you're lactose intolerant, if you fake drink it and you get a couple of drops to go down...
That's a problem.
What is, I've never known a lot about being lactose intolerant.
So my daughter's got a little bit of this.
Like, does it just cause bubble guts? What are we talking about here?
Bad
bubble guts. That's the equivalent. Okay.
And it's like, I'm not saying this for everybody lactose. I can only speak to my experience of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's much like people in my life that have like shellfish allergies. I know people that will break out a little bit in a rash if they eat shellfish. And guess what they still choose to do?
You still take the risk.
They're still eating it.
I mean, if you want the biscuit, you got to risk it.
So my daughter, like, yeah, she's getting the blizzard and she's going to suffer the consequences of that. And she doesn't care.
Sounds like me and Chipotle. I know what the outcome is here. I don't care.
You're signing up for
dude,
it.
Dude, that double stuffed burrito.
I mean, do what you need to do,
it's fantastic.
The double stuff for
I mean, you double the meat.
Wow.
Give me the double the meat.
Mm.
One order of the meat's not enough.
Mm.
Brandon's with me over there. He's picking up what I'm putting down.
I think NASCAR has an event, the Brickyard 400.
Okay.
And I feel like they also chug milk.
So it's like the RBC Heritage Open. We also give out a jacket, but nobody knows about our jacket. Because if you ask me who's drinking milk after a race, Indy 500 is the answer. But I always love joking about that in golf. The week after the Masters, they go play at the RBC and they give out a plaid jacket if you win.
So here's the thing. It's at the same track.
Oh.
It's in Indy.
But it's a NASCAR race.
Yeah.
God. Is that just an Indy thing? Milk big in Indy? They're proud of their cows?
I think that, yeah.
The Brickyard does not do milk.
Ooh. In your
just
face.
Brickyard doesn't?
In your face, NASCAR
you sure about
guy.
That?
I just Googled it.
Googling doesn't.
He just gave you one of these.
Hold on. Now, hold
he
on.
He just gave you one of those. He just gave you.
Not today.
He did do that to
he
me.
He did. He just swatted
do they
that
jump
away.
To the fence?
So the Brickyard tradition is that they kiss the brick
kiss the
wall.
Brick on the ground, right?
You gotta kiss the brick.
That's right. I think they also do milk. I'm just going to say it. I think you're wrong.
In their private quarters.
I think you're wrong, and I don't want to be wrong, so we're just going to sit in that world.
That's how we live in society nowadays. You can't tell me I'm wrong. Anyhoosies, that's enough race car driving storylines for the day, I promise. Well, actually, I can't promise, but for now at least. Let's get to this. So one of the guys that we keep an eye on, obviously, locally in terms of NFL quarterbacks is a former local quarterback, and that is one Bo Nix. Now, I don't even know this, but Tez Johnson is his brother, and he is the quarterback of the Denver Broncos. Now,
you're right. It is just the Indy.
It's just Indy, yeah. Just Indy. Yeah. You see, that's what a good producer does right there. Yeah. You get the answers, give us the facts. He's just calling, to your point earlier, he's just calling balls and strikes.
You know, to be fair, most national shows, producer says it in the air. And the ear, not the air, to make us not look stupid.
But he can't do that because if he says it in your ear, you will go deaf by the end of the show because his volume is so loud. True. He does not have the ability to talk to us during the show unless he's on the air.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Thank you for not making me go deaf.
You were saying about Tez Johnson's brother.
Tez Johnson's brother is the quarterback of the Broncos. And I don't know if you know this, but he's undergone a couple of ankle surgeries this offseason.
Yeah.
And it's been a weird, like, and we've heard from Bronco fans in this regard. Like, some Bronco fans have reached out and been like, I'm terrified. Others are like, everybody's an idiot who brings this up. There's like, you get both sides of the spectrum there.
Yep.
This was interesting. So James Palmer was on with Kay Adams on Up and Adams, and he was asked about Bo Nix and his recovery, and I thought the answer was interesting in what is a massive year for him because you're now in the world of quarterback play. Like, if Bo Nix has another good year, is he getting the extension? A lot of guys get it after year three.
You're in the conversation, and maybe they're going to be ahead of themselves so they don't have to suffer the consequences of that number down the road.
I mean, they're talking about playoffs in year one, solid rookie year, step forward, AFC title game, obviously, they lost the AFC title game, but he didn't play in the AFC.
But he was the quarterback.
But he beat
to
the Bills in the divisional round, yeah. And so it's like you're there. Like, if he has another good year.
I mean, the way he's playing right now, he's certainly in line to get the extension and me to be wrong.
And this is where this answer, I thought, is interesting from James Palmer.
They do think he's managed himself pretty well outside the pocket. They've given him the liberty. They think he takes care of his body pretty well for the most part in terms of taking hits, getting out of bounds, sliding, things like that. And him on the run, I mean, I remember having this conversation with Davis Webb, and he comes into this equation. Obviously, we'll get to that. On the sideline before a game last year, he was like, I think he throws on the move, on the run, better than any other player I've seen. And that's the way they want him to continue to move outside the pocket. So that's going to be part of this offense. And obviously, there's going to be some changes with Davis calling the plays. Obviously, Sean still has a huge input on the way this offense operates. But this was, you know, a big talking point in Denver because everybody was going, he's ahead of schedule, from Greg Penner, the owner, to Sean Payton, to George Payton, everything perfectly fine, easy procedure, Kay. And then he has a second procedure, and it slides him back a little bit. But he'll be on the field in June. He'll be full go in July, I'm told. And so when training camp starts, he should be right there. But that offense, you're right, we should keep an eye on it. Garrett can talk about it a little bit, my guy GB, but they want him to continue to move, Kay.
And it's been interesting offseason because to his point, like initially it's no big deal, pretty clean surgery. And then it's his coach coming out saying he's had X amount of surgeries. And then Bo coming out the next day and saying that's a lie. Yeah. I have not had that. And then Peyton kind of having to walk those comments back. And then everything's on schedule. And now it's not on schedule. It's been a very calm. And maybe this is much ado about nothing. And we look up and we're like, remember when that was an NFL offseason storyline? Or maybe it's something. And you're talking about a guy who I think to the original point that he's bringing up there to Kay Adams is that one of the biggest driving points of his success early in his career has been his mobility, scramble around, throw on the run, broken plays. Like, that's been an underrated aspect of his game that we probably should have given a lot more credit to coming out of Oregon because he was really good at it there. And if you lose 5% of that, I don't know what it would actually be. What does he look like as an NFL quarterback?
I would make an argument it's made his entire career.
Yeah.
Him out of the pocket. I don't know if I'd take him number one out of the
pocket. Rushing numbers the last 2 years?
Throwing, but his rushing has been exceptional when he needs it. And his ability to move the pocket and not just hang back there, because it's not like he's the tallest guy in the world.
No.
So, like, I would argue that's been some of the driving force of his entire career so far early on. I mean, it's not nothing. And also the Peyton thing is fascinating. Like, we saw him bark back at Peyton his rookie year. And they still have moments every now and then where you get a little. And now there's a new OC. There's a new play caller in Denver. They didn't want to lose Davis Webb. He's the OC. He'll be calling the plays. But how involved is Peyton going to be down to down or quarter to quarter? I'll be curious because that relationship, I think it's fine. But also, I'm not going to say that there isn't some interesting stuff there. The barking back and forth, that hasn't happened to Sean Payton much in his life.
No.
And then the surgery thing was bizarre. You don't have to agree that Bo Nix is in any danger here moving forward. You are lying to yourself if you don't acknowledge how bizarre it is to have the head coach say he's had multiple surgeries.
Something medically about a player.
Yeah, violate his HIPAA rights, and then have the player basically come out and say he's straight up lying.
Yes.
Can you find that out in the NFL where we have quarterback and coach dialogue that way?
I don't ever remember that being a story between coach and quarterback.
You have to acknowledge that aspect of it. It's something to watch and follow. Could be an absolute nothing burger. And if he's able to continue to be mobile, move the pocket, make those plays with his feet, we won't worry about it much. Could be Steph Curry ankle issues back
Very
in
true.
The day. Remember, that
Very
was a big
true.
Concern, and then it never came back.
A lot of Warrior fans wanted them to trade Steph Curry over Monte Ellis because of those ankle issues.
Well, my biggest question isn't even necessarily about these injuries, though I am concerned about it. I did have a back-and-forth listener about him when he was drafted, and I'm just one that I had the opinion I didn't think he'd be a franchise guy, but like a long, lengthy NFL career.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he signs an extension, when do we fully designate or define what the franchise quarterback is? Because if you tell me first contract, I'm throwing in your face Tua Tagovailoa.
Sure.
If you tell me first contract, I'm going to throw in your face Kyler Murray.
Carson Wentz.
It's not like guys haven't signed the first massive deal.
Yes.
When do you define it if it's not
Mahomes,
Lamar, Allen, Burrow?
I think you need a combination of obviously team success is important for ranking of those players.
Okay.
So you need to have that element of it, which he checked those boxes last year, like going on a playoff run, and he was good in the post. Like, he was really good in that Buffalo
game. But they
can
lose wild card weekend, and I still would say he probably is going to get the contract. They
yes.
can lose the next wild card weekend. He's probably going to get the contract.
I'm looking for some key factors in terms of His numbers last year. His completion percentage dropped from his rookie year to his second year.
Uh-huh.
He went from 66.3 to 63.4.
Mm-hmm.
His yard per attempt, which is not the biggest stat for everybody, but some people like keying in on it, 6.7 to 6.4. His quarterback rating, again, not the end-all be-all, went from 93.3 to 87.8. So there were numbers and categories in which he dropped off. Touchdowns was 29 to 25. Now he cut down on picks by 12 to 11. On the surface, there's no issue with the numbers, but I think there's almost two different definitions of it. Like, franchise quarterback, to me, I think he's already kind of answered that. It doesn't mean that you won't come to regret a contract, because that certainly has happened across the NFL. But in terms of, like, I feel like sometimes when you say franchise quarterback, your mind goes to he's going to carry the team, and I don't think he's one of those guys.
I think that's kind of, well, look.
Like, I think he's a franchise quarterback, but he's not. I don't have any thought or idea that he's going to
be a Sam Darnold franchise quarterback?
Yes. He's not going to break the ceiling down, and we're going to put him in the same conversation with Allen and Mahomes and Lamar Jackson.
Well, yeah, because there's only so many of those guys.
There's only so many of those guys. And I don't view him as that as a 26-year-old.
Right.
But I think he's answered the question, at least as of now, that he's a franchise quarterback. But some of those numbers got to get better and go in the other direction, because if they did a little bit more, then that's kind of a concerning trend.
He's a bit of a polarizing topic, actually, in Denver. Like, I think there's a lot of support for him.
Franchise quarterbacks are usually loved, but yeah.
But he's had some weeks where the numbers are not amazing, and they debate it all the time on their sports radio stations.
Also, you're going to have to pay him a lot of money. A lot of money. That's going to eat up some of your cap. So that decision is ahead. Palmer said keep an eye on the mobility of one Bo Nix. The hypocrisy was on display yesterday. I'll explain that next. 105.1 FM.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
The fam. Welcome back in. We got Statter Story coming up. Final hour of the show. Is Travis Kelce going to wear his free Rashee Rice shirt to OTAs?
Oh, dude, you had one job to do.
Just, you know.
Not
do that.
You know, he's going to spend more time in jail for smoking weed than he did for his driving
100
incident.
Miles an hour and ramming into the back of cars and nearly killing people. Seriously? Now, he seriously injured people, right? Did he kill any? He didn't kill anybody.
I don't know if he killed somebody. I think that takes
I think there was
it.
Some injury, but he was going like 100 into the...
Yeah, he was like 107.
107 into the back of another car, right? In a traffic jam, essentially.
Yeah, that's...
Free Rashee Rice, man.
Yeah.
One of the all-time miss... Like, I get defending teammates in certain cases, like Patriots wearing Roger Goodell clown shirts after the Brady Deflategate, right? Like... He deflated, like, what are we doing?
But did they wear free Aaron t-shirts?
I don't believe that they did.
No. I don't think they did either, because it was evident because they all knew he was crazy and capable of doing such things. I think the tough thing is, like, Kansas City has so many likable elements of them as a franchise. Like, one, most of our lives, no matter what your age is.
Chiefs have been cool, man.
They were always a cool, fun team to root for because you didn't take them seriously.
Tony Gonzalez, Priest Holmes.
Yeah, like Trent Green.
Yeah.
And even more than that, they were the Marty Schottenheimer letdown team, and you felt bad for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got Andy Reid, and you're like, yeah, dude, Andy Reid's actually a good coach. Holy crap, they also got a quarterback now. Oh, my God, look at this tight end. Then you draft the wide receiver that punches his girlfriend in the stomach while she's pregnant.
Yeah.
And then you win with him, and it's like, yeah. And then you're like, okay, you know, I can kind of get behind the organization having some success. It's awesome. Those are diehard fans. Arrowhead's an awesome place. Let's get rid of the guy. All right, hey, we're going to draft Rashee Rice. You know, you got
you had one job to do. Let's not smoke any weed just for a little bit. How about that? Can we take a little breather, baby?
It's really, as somebody that has smoked weed, it's really not that hard to not do it.
Nope. You go a couple of days and be like, oh, I'm all right. He's got to go to jail for 30 days after testing positive.
He's
going to
miss the OTAs.
Yes, he is. But I'm sure they'll wear free Rashee Rice shirts as if this one also is not his fault in Kansas City. I chuckled at this. We don't need to get into the debate over how we want it to look or what the ultimate result will be. But Tony Petitti was behind a lot of microphones yesterday, hooting and hollering about what he wants the college football playoff to look like. To boil it down, essentially their stance is 12 or 24, there's no 16. 16 will not happen over our dead body. We'll never vote for it because we're losing revenue here and there, and it doesn't gain that much revenue elsewhere. So they're anti-16. It's either 12 or we're blowing this thing up to 24 and doubling in size. But did you see, so a lot of the talk coming out of Big Ten Media Days or Spring Media Days was about the idea of models being unsustainable and we're spending all this money. Like Pete Thamel wrote a piece where the industry's unsustainable rhetoric meets this trophy case. How long until we have $80 to $90 million football rosters?
For the Big Ten media, Spring Media thing, I saw the backlash to this.
Did you see where their spring meetings were happening?
The nicest place in the world.
I think it's called Terranea. I don't know how to actually pronounce it, but that's what it sounds like to me.
Terranea.
Terranea, thank you. Palos Verdes, California. It is an oceanfront retreat.
It's so beautiful.
With a pool. I mean, have you been there?
When I was at Fox, we would have our like preseason meeting there for the football season for college football and
to
NFL,
get ready to go.
And they would have their meeting there for a couple days.
So you got to stay there?
No. I didn't. Heck no. I was on the bottom.
But the higher ups would go have their meetings.
Yeah, all the higher ups and all the commentators stuff. They'd go play golf and stay out there for the weekend. It's a pretty look.
It's a beautiful gorgeous state.
Yeah, I didn't live too far from there either, so I would play golf in the budget friendly courses down there.
Yes.
So, but no, pretty spot.
How about that?
I just chuckled at the idea.
We don't know how to spend
our
money. We can't make it.
Talking about being unsustainable, and it's like Stuart Mandel. Now, people immediately pointed out that they have a deal with USC, I believe. Like that resort has some sort of connection. So
they're saving money though. Actually.
They're saving money actually.
It costs us nothing.
Stuart Mandel found, do you care to take a guess on just, let's look at if you want to stay there for a night for one room. Let me pick a random date. Let's pick June 15th. It's a Monday night.
Oh boy,
it's a Monday night.
High demand for Monday night.
June 15th.
Okay.
For one night, you want to go stay. Terranea? Is that a...
Terranea.
Terranea. Okay, Terranea. One night, June 15th. How much do you think it's going to cost you?
Real quick, help me understand about something with Southern California or that area.
Okay.
Because I've been there a ton. And I've been there in a couple different months. But like, is June a good month to go there? Or would I prefer to go there in January, December, or August? Like, is June a good month to go?
I mean, June's a busy month because that's where everybody goes down there for summer stuff. So I would say, I mean, I would if I were to go back down there, it'd probably be more in the September time where it's not.
It starts to die down.
The heat's starting to die down
kids
a little bit.
School.
But it's on the ocean front anyway, so it's cooler on that side of the coast anyways. Like if you're on the beach side, you get the cooler weather compared to, you know, the desert side of
LA. Sure, being a little more inland.
So, yeah, I would shoot for probably like before, you know, the summer hits. So, like either April or May or September.
Okay, so June's
October.
A decent month to
so
want to
June,
go.
You might find a deal. I doubt it.
All right,
you
I'm going to say one. This is a one bed room.
It's a standard room per room,
per
one night.
$580.
You're close. It's $1,326 for a night.
Yeah, but
now there are nights in there with fives. If you want to stay on Wednesday, June 3rd, you can get a 525. So it's all, you know, pricing based on the rates of, you know, the traffic of people wanting to go there, with dynamic pricing, whatever we call it.
I know Danny Morang, and he is a USC fan, so I get a discount now.
Oh, is that a discount by association?
It's the USC thing.
Yes, it is.
You know,
I love the idea.
I love them touting that.
We're spending way too much money. These kids are asking for way too much money. Let's go sit by the pool and discuss this, shall we?
They've always been.
Anybody want a cocktail?
They've always been the dumbest sport of like, oh, we don't know what to do. It's rampant spending. How are kids going to make this money? Coach, go away. Here's $85 million. Hey, new coach, here's $100 million. We're going to lock ourselves into all of this.
Our guy Pate responded to this, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said something along the lines of the SEC hosting their spring medias at like a Motel 6 in Mobile would be a perfect optic. They'll never
to
do it.
To try to get the 16-team playoff.
Look at us here, okay? We're saving money, okay? We're not wasting money in places where it doesn't need to go. With the big wigs staying at poolside resorts, we're staying in a Motel 6. They leave the lights on for you.
They do.
We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the radio show. We got Statter Story coming up at about 9:30-ish, a little bit later than usual, but Statter Story is right around the corner. We got game two of the Western Conference Finals tonight. Sprague will tell you exactly how this game is going to play out and who will win. I want to start there with a couple of more nuggets out of the National Football League, including when will the breaking point come with this topic. We'll start the final hour there next. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 FM The Fam.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.